Exodus is the story of God's redemption. And we find that Moses and Aaron had gone before Pharaoh and done just exactly what the Lord had asked them. They asked Pharaoh to let Israel go so they may worship the Lord, their God, in the desert. Pharaoh immediately said, "Who is God? I do not know him, and I will not let them go." It's interesting because Pharaoh viewed himself as God. The sign of Pharaoh was a snake, particularly a cobra. It was always depicted ready to strike on his head covering. So God's first miracle was to have Aaron throw down his staff, which turned into a snake. Now, Pharaoh's magicians were also able to replicate this, but Aaron's snake devoured the magician's snakes, indicating that it's the Lord, not Pharaoh, who is God. Well, from there, God then showed his mighty hand through going against every god of Egypt. They revered the Nile River as the giver of life. And we find that the first miracle was that the Nile was turned to blood. But this blood didn't give life, it gave death. And we find that all the fish died. Now, the magicians were able to replicate this. So Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let them go. Miracle number two, or plague number two, was directed against the goddess of childbirth. She was depicted with a frog head, and so God caused frogs to cover the land. They didn't just cover the land, it covered the houses, it was even in their beds. Unfortunately, the magicians were able to replicate this. But Pharaoh realized that his magicians could not remove them, so he summoned Moses and Aaron and asked them to pray to the Lord, Yahweh, that he would remove these frogs. Interesting, he used the name of the Lord, Yahweh. He was beginning to meet the Lord, the God of Israel. Moses let Pharaoh set the time so that he would know it was the Lord who removed him and not some natural phenomenon. Pharaoh said the next day, and we were interested why he didn't say right then, but he said the next day. And God did cause all the frogs to die, except in the Nile. So now you've got the stench of dead frogs throughout the entire land. Well, our story picks up today with the Lord continuing to reveal himself and his power to Pharaoh with plague number three. We begin in chapter 8, verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the ground, and throughout the land of Egypt, the dust will become gnats." Now, interesting, the word gnats can also mean any little flying insect like a mosquito or even a sand flea. 17. When Aaron stretched out his hand with the staff and struck the dust to the ground, gnats came upon men and animals. All the dust throughout the land of Egypt became gnats. But when the magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, they could not. And the gnats were on men and animals. The use of the phrase "all the dust" is an exaggeration simply to make a point. These irritating little biters were everywhere. There was no way to get away from them. Interesting, because we've discovered that God sent three sets of plagues, each in a triad. The first plague is announced in the morning at the Nile by Moses to Pharaoh. The second does not give a time, and the third happens unannounced without any forewarning. So Aaron is instructed, "Stretch out your staff and gnats will be released on the land." When Pharaoh asks his magicians to do this, 19, the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not listen, just as the Lord had said. The magicians recognized that this was no trick. They did not use the name of the Lord, as Pharaoh had done. They simply said it was some unknown god. And now they emphasized again that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But the Lord would continue to provide evidence and opportunities for him to repent and do the right thing. Plague number 4, Exodus 8:20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water. Say to him, 'This is what the Lord says, let my people go so that they may worship me. If you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you and your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, and even the ground where they are.'" Come now to the second set of 3 plagues. The intensity is beginning to increase. The first ones didn't cause any real harm. These will. The first one showed God's power over the water, particularly the Nile, which they worshiped. These plagues are going to show God's power over air and animals, also whom Egypt worships. Again, this is the first of the triads, so Moses was to be at the Nile early in the morning when Pharaoh arrived to worship and bathe. But this time, Moses doesn't have a staff. He just speaks to Pharaoh. The plagues are no magic tricks. Moses spoke the words of the Lord, "Let my people go." And it's interesting because the Hebrew literal translation of this is, "If you do not send my people away, then I will send swarms of flies on you." 22. "But on that day I will deal differently with the land of Goshen where my people live. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow." Pharaoh said he did not know the Lord, so once again, the Lord is showing Pharaoh who he is. He is God over the air and everything it contains. By sending flies to Egypt while miraculously protecting Israel, Pharaoh was told to expect the flies the next day. And the purpose again was to let Pharaoh know the Lord is here in Egypt. You see, gods were believed to be territorial, but the Lord, Yahweh, is everywhere, including Egypt, not just in the wilderness where Israel was asking to go worship. So in plague number 4, the Lord was showing Pharaoh that he is the God of both time and space. 24. "And the Lord did this. Dense swarms of flies poured into Pharaoh's palace and into the houses of his officials. And throughout Egypt, the land was ruined by the flies." We can only imagine with all these dead flies, dense swarms of flies would be expected. But it was the Lord who decided when they could arrive and where they could go. The flies were not allowed to go into the land of Goshen or to bother God's people, showing the mighty hand of the Lord. Now we see this plague intensifies God's judgment because these flies are more than just a nuisance. They're actually destroying the land of Egypt. Verse 25. "Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go, sacrifice to your God here in the land.' But Moses said, 'That would not be right. The sacrifices we offer the Lord our God would be detestable to the Egyptians. And if we offered sacrifices that are detestable in their eyes, will they not stone us? We must take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God as he commanded us.'" Pharaoh seems to give in a little bit, saying the Israelites could go sacrifice to their God, but they must do so in Egypt. This was not God's plan, and Pharaoh knew it. Moses also knew Pharaoh was not serious and countered with what we would call Pharaoh's bluff. Egypt revered cattle, sheep, and goats as gods. If Israel sacrificed these animals to God in Egypt, they would be killing gods, and of course, they would incur the wrath of all the Egyptians. Moses reminded Pharaoh, "Israel needs to put a 3-day journey between us and you to offer sacrifices in obedience to our Lord." Verse 28. Pharaoh said, "I will let you go to offer sacrifices to the Lord your God in the desert, but you must not go very far. Now pray for me. Pharaoh seemed to be softening a bit by saying, okay, but don't go very far, and then asked Moses to pray for me. This was common. They always wanted prayers from all their gods. So he's asking Moses to pray to Yahweh for him. 29. Moses answered, as soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord, and tomorrow the flies will leave Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Only be sure that Pharaoh does not act deceitfully again by not letting the people go to offer sacrifices to the Lord. Moses did say he would pray to Yahweh for the removal of the flies, but also warned Pharaoh not to go back on his word. Verse 30. Then Moses left Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did what Moses asked. The flies left Pharaoh and his officials and his people. Not a fly remained. But this time also Pharaoh hardened his heart and would not let the people go. The Lord displayed his power by ending the plague and removing all the flies. But Pharaoh continued to resist, hardening his own heart against Yahweh. I like the way the Torah commentary put it. But Pharaoh made his heart heavy with stubbornness this time as well, and he did not send the people free. Plague number 5, Exodus 9:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, says. Let my people go so they may worship me. If you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them back, the hand of the Lord will bring a terrible plague on your livestock in the field, on your horses and donkeys and camels, and on your cattle and sheep and goats. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and that of Egypt, so that no animal belonging to the Israelites will die. Now Moses told Pharaoh Israel could not sacrifice to worship in Egypt because of the importance of their sacred animals. Egypt worshipped all these various animals as gods. They had bull gods, cow gods, ram gods, as well as other gods with animal heads, like we saw with the frog god in Plague 2. Moses said God would strike any animal out in the field if Pharaoh did not let the Israelites go worship. This would show that the Lord is God, and nothing in nature, including all their sacred animals, could stand against him. Now, every commentary I looked at said the plague was most likely anthrax, because this is a spore-carrying bacteria that affects livestock, and it could be a result of all of the dead frogs that were around. Verse 5, the Lord set a time and said, tomorrow the Lord will do this in the land. And the next day the Lord did it. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one animal belonging to the Israelites died. Pharaoh set men to investigate and found that not even one of the animals of the Israelites had died. Yet his heart was unyielding and he would not let the people go. Pharaoh still isn't convinced that God was doing this, so he sent men to find out if their animals were really affected or not. The Israelites were shepherd, and if their animals were affected, it would devastate them. But God's judgment is not on Israel, it's on Egypt. Egypt's primary source of wealth is their grain. But time is running out for Pharaoh. The Lord would not be patient with him forever. So on to plague number 6. 9 verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a handful of soot from the furnace and have Moses toss it into the air in the presence of Pharaoh. It will become fine dust over the whole land of Egypt, and festering boils will break out on men and animals throughout the land. This is the third plague in the second triad, so it comes unannounced, no warning. The past plagues were on the land and animals. This now begins God's judgment on the people. The furnace from which Moses was to take the soot were the very kilns where the Israelites were using to make bricks. Verse 10. So they took soot from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh. Moses tossed it into the air, and festering boils broke out on men and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that were on them and on all the Egyptians. I love the way this is phrased, because Moses and Aaron are able to stand before Pharaoh in the power and the might of the Lord, but the magicians cannot even stand, showing the ineffectiveness of their gods. Their lack of true power was being exposed. They were merely tricksters, and they, like all other Egyptians, are in deep misery with boils all over their body. Now, the word translated boils could be any skin infection that's a sore that's open and oozing and very painful. This would make them unclean and also unable to worship before their gods. Verse 12. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said to Moses. So after six plagues, Pharaoh's opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord seems to have passed. From now on, it says the Lord hardens his heart as he brings final judgment for enslaving Israel. Now, as I was going through this, the question always comes up, who hardened Pharaoh's heart? And it's best understood if we go to the original culture and the original language. So I'd like to read to you two commentaries that are Jewish. The first one is the Torah commentary by Richard Friedman. It says, "The expression 'God made it so' was a known expression. In the Torah, even though God makes humans as God sees fit, humans are free thereafter to follow their own hearts. God splits seas, makes animals talk, makes water come from rocks, but God does not change the human heart. This in turn sheds light in retrospect on what God does to Pharaoh's heart during the plagues. English translators have often made it God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but the Hebrew is God strengthened Pharaoh's heart. God does not change the king's heart, but only gives the Pharaoh strength to follow his own resolve." The second commentary is by Dennis Prager on Exodus, and he says, "After each of the first five plagues, the Torah says Pharaoh strengthened his heart. But for the first time, it is not Pharaoh, but God who strengthens Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's hearts being strengthened mean Pharaoh now has the strength to decide what to do with the Israelites of his own volition, not due to the weakening of his heart brought on by the plagues or fear of more plagues." So as we look at what the Jewish commentaries understand, they still put the hardening on Pharaoh. It's his own will, but God's giving him opportunities to repent or to strengthen his resolve against the Lord. And I'm going to leave it up to you, because I know there's a lot of controversy on whether God caused this to happen or whether he allowed it to happen. And that depends upon your theological view on this. But as we go through this, Pharaoh declared himself God, and God is showing, no, it's not you. I and I alone am the one true God. We continue next week with plagues 7 to 9, and this time we're going to see real, permanent damage. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you are God. We thank you that you are a good God, and that your desire that all would repent and turn to you, even the Pharaoh. And yet you give each of us the opportunity to choose. I pray that we would continue to look to you for strength, to continue to worship you and honor you. We love you, Lord. Amen.